vow, you see, when it comes to Christ, I will not feel awkward. No, I will not feel awkward. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. When I see a football stadium, and maybe they are playing football and people are just gathered, I just think about, that's how they should gather for Jesus. And it will get it done. Amen. We will get it done by the power of God. So in the month of September, we began this teaching series on what is the church, especially because every day is... Many times when the devil is operating, you may not know that the devil is operating except you have discerning eyes. Are you with me? And one of the things the devil is a master at is changing narratives. He knows how to bend the narrative to his favor. For instance, when you see the devil and Eve in the garden. Now, God told Adam and Eve, he says, of all the trees that are in the garden, you can freely eat. But of the tree that is in the middle of the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. And the day that thou eat of it, you will surely die. But guess what the devil came to do? Open Genesis chapter 3. When the devil came and met Eve, you will see what how he started the conversation. Genesis 3, from verse 1. He says, now, the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Who noticed the generalization just now? He just came and said, ha, did God say you should not eat of any tree in this garden? He found a way to just begin to change narrative. Twist it in such a way that it fits his favor. Let me tell you, if you are ever looking for the devil with some horns like they show in all these movies, you will not see him that way. You won't see the devil like with horns. You will never see the devil with horns, except maybe you go to his kingdom and maybe you see demons for what they really are. Most times when the devil is operating, he can come like a guy giving you nice advice. He can just show up. There is a way he will show up like, you know, ah, this is Satan. If you don't have the same eyes, you will not know. You will not know. For instance, something is going on right now. There is a certain man of God in this country. Now, it's not my place to... I don't really take joy in critiquing men of God. Are you with me? I just try to preach Christ and focus. But he began to do something which every serious Christian should be bothered about. So he began to sell soap, sell water, sell oil. And first of all, even if you are selling, even if you have spiritual materials, now, we don't, in the Christian faith, actually, we don't sell soap. Are you with me? Jesus never sold soap. Jesus, praise the Lord. A Christian should not be driven by material mediums. But well, even if you say they are spiritual materials, if it's spiritual materials, give it free. When Jesus used sand to heal the person's eye, maybe they would have bottled the sand and say, holy sand. Think with me, right? Also, Jesus did not use sand to heal people every time. It was a one-time event. You cannot make a doctrine out of material mediums. No. Are you following this? But guess what? Now, you know, the Bible says, if we don't judge ourselves, the world can begin to judge us. So a certain comedian went and bought some of the materials and said, okay, you said this is healing water, and he gave it to somebody that was blind, and the person did not get healed. And so they took the pastor to the court, or the pastor took the man to court. Now, in the midst of this argument, people have started saying, all these churches, in fact, just close all of them. While we don't support what that prophet is doing, you can see the back door the devil is coming from. Are you following me? Do you know what will happen if you remove the church? Do you know what will happen? Do you know what will happen if all the churches get closed down? Do you know what will happen? No, you have no idea. I'm telling you. I'm going to give you a little idea. The Bible says in Thessalonians that before the man of evil shall appear, he that letteth shall let and be taken out of the way. What is he talking about? When you use those things in King James, you'll be wondering, what's the Bible actually saying? Okay, that may be more complex. Let me come through a simpler route. The Bible says, "Ye are the salt of the earth," right? What is salt for? So two major things. Salt is for taste, and salt is for what? Preservation. That means, you know, if you have seen our old African parents do this thing, when they see a food trying to spoil, they'll tell you that if you add salt, it will reduce the rate at which it will spoil. You can use salt to reduce the rate at which an organic material is going to get bad. When the Bible says that we are the salt of the earth, it means that the reason why the world is not as bad as it ought to be is because of the church. That means the church is slowing down the rate at which darkness is taking over. Are you following me? So when the Bible says in Thessalonians that he that led shall be taken out of the way, the first thing God will do, to let the world destroy, he will remove the church. That's called the rapture. Remember, you know, we have asked that question, will the church be here when the tribulation comes at the end of the age? The answer is no. Remember, when God wanted to destroy the world the first time, it was after the door was shut and everybody was in Noah's ark that the rain started falling. Are you following me? See, if the church is closed down, and church stop operating the way it ought to operate, I am telling you, darkness, the way evil will prevail, you'll be wondering what is happening. You'll be wondering. Say after me, I believe in the church of Jesus. Say it, I believe in the church of Jesus. Say after me, we are the salt of the earth. Then the Bible says, we are the light of the world. Do you know what it means when it says we are the light of the world? The reason why you can see, imagine this whole place is dark and you just own a small light. That's what will guide you out. Put up the light and you will see. That is why the devil fights you, fights your spiritual life, does everything to distract you, fights churches, all kinds of things. If you know the kind of battles, see, the church has faced, but check your life. Anytime you want to take God seriously, you have battles. Have you not noticed? To hold your phone and scroll it for 1 hour, 10 hours, there is no problem. Just carry your Bible and you want to read. Just carry your Bible. All kinds of demons of sleep, discouragement, the day you want to take God, all kinds of things. But after me, we will prevail. Amen. So on Sunday, we're answering the question, what exactly is the church? We said on Sunday that the church is the gathering of people who have been called out from the world by believing in Jesus. Also, we said that the church is God's embassy on the earth, and we are God's ambassadors, right? Then on Sunday, we also said the church is the seat of God's authority. Praise the Lord. Today, I want to emphasize something else. Number 4, you can write down, the church is God's training ground. The church is God's training ground. The church is God's training ground. By training ground, we mean that the church is a school. It is God's way to school you. 1 Timothy 3:15. Paul writing to Timothy, he says, but if I tarry long, now there was a write-up before this verse 15. So if you read this first phrase without that background, you will not get the context, but pretend you understand the context and just follow me. It says, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how that thou oughtest to behave in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of truth. So actually what he was saying is that I want to write to you. If you've read the context, he was saying, I want to do this write up to you so that if I tarry long, I would have already written what I'm supposed to have told you. Are you with me? So that when you read this thing, you will know how you ought to behave in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truths. So the church is the pillar and the ground of the truth. If the church is the pillar and the ground of the truth, that means Satan will do everything to twist the truth. See, he will make it look like, don't pay attention to what they are saying. You know, people have argued so much. I saw an argument on Twitter. They argued so much to the point where somebody said, who are we going to believe now? Have you been there said before? This pastor said this one. This pastor said this one. This pastor is saying this. This pastor is saying this. They're all saying so many things, it can be so confusing. You're like, who am I going to believe? And that's why I take teaching ministry very serious. I take it very serious. He says the church is the pillar and the ground of truth. Oh my God. Oh my God. We are literally at war. many pagan ideas we are battling with. Do you know that the average young person, in many sectors, let me not even go back, in this country, the average young person, many of them do not believe that if you follow the straight paths, you will become successful. Many people believe that if you are going to rise to anything great in life, you have to bend small. Do you know that? Many believe that. And we have a responsibility to change it because, listen, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. The end thereof are the ways of death. The church is the pillar and the ground of truth. We can't play with what we are teaching. We see, we as much as possible, we must avoid dissenting voices. We must know what is the right thing and stand for it. What is the truth and stand for it? For instance, in our day, many young ladies do not believe that you can marry a man who is faithful. Hey, God. Go on social media. You see, let me tell you why social media is a big deal for me. Every time I keep saying comment, like, share. Because social media shows you a person's beliefs. When a person is not under compulsion to anything, what the person posts as status tells you what is in his. He's telling you his status. Where is mine? How he thinks? What he thinks about? What matters to him? Without anybody forcing him, he just posts what he wants to post. He puts the pictures he wants to put. See, there are many young ladies that don't believe that if you don't expose some skin, you will not get married. If you say it's a lie, just look at the way people respond. Look at the way they are on social media. You will know. Every Sunday, I remember one of my brothers, he had to caution one lady. He said, every Sunday you say it's all by grace, but when you pose, you ensure that you pose like this and put the camera like this to ensure that it shows very well. So Ina said, auntie, what is the grace? Is it the grace that is in the behind or what? Or the grace you got from service? The church is the pillar and the ground of the truth. We must fight for it. Are you with me? The aim of all these teachings, I'm trying to, as led by the Holy Spirit, I'm trying to reignite in you a passion for the ministry of the church. Praise the Lord. The church is the pillar and the ground of truth. And let me tell you something. Listen. The truth is that thing that will not change. God. Some things may be true, but tomorrow it can no longer be true. It is true that some of these things I said, sometimes it looks like it is true, but it is not the truth. The truth will never change. Under any circumstance, the Bible says, we can do nothing for the truth, nothing against the truth, but for the truth. No, it's looking like evil is prevailing. Don't worry. As long as you are alive, you will see. You remember that the truth eventually is the truth. It looks like, the people who, you must not really take God serious. You have to bend your ways. Sister, you have to compromise to be who God wants you to be. A time will come where you will look back and say, the truth. I should have stood for the truth. Are you following me? The truth will always prevail. And that's why the church, the true churches and the true church of God will always prevail. Are you with me? I pray for you, you will always prevail. In spite of everything, you will prevail. Sometimes your life can be at a point where you are battling with so much challenges, so many challenges that have you been in a point where it's almost impossible for you to see a way out? It's almost impossible. You lost look at yourself like, how will I come out of this place? Like how will I break out of this thing? When they tell you that with God all things are possible, you just be, God, leave this thing. You are facing challenges. You are like, how will I? You know, I was into an entrepreneur yesterday. He's quite a wealthy man now, but he was telling a story how that there was a point in his life. Listen, there was a point in his life. He was so stranded that he had to start a business, a bulk SMS business. Where he would tell people, okay, if you subscribe to us, 75 kobo per text message, so that you can do bulk SMS. And so People were not patronizing him. So he decided that, okay, he will put an advert and be pasting it on different junctions at Lagos. So he starts from Ota. He actually used to stay at Sango Ota. He will come down from Sango Ota. At every bus stop, he would look for a place and use gum and paste that thing. He said many times, there were many days, he will start that thing by 10 a.m. 10 a.m. And he will finish by 12 a.m. the next day. If you didn't hear what I said. Like, he will pay transport, enter a bus, come down, paste. Come down, paste. Come down, paste. By the time he's done, he has done like 14 hours pasting adverts. Yes, he got some customers. He said he started getting some customers, but one day after pasting there, as he was coming down for the last voice, he did not even know when he started crying. He said it's not like he was trying to, was feeling bad. He just came down and he just saw that tears came from his eyes. He was like, why am I crying? See, but the Bible says, surely there is an end. I don't know if you're following what I'm saying. Surely there is an end. See, oh my God. Some of you may know him. Stephen Akintayo is his name. The real estate mogul. Some of you know the person I'm talking about. Surely there's an end. That's why, for a person like me, I'm not... It's hard to discourage me. Oh, no, it's hard. Where will you start from? David, surely there is an end. Tell you what, surely there is an end. And my sermon is going on, but this is what I'm feeling in my spirit, that before I go on with this sermon, I should talk to some of you. Tell your neighbor, surely there is an end. You know, different thoughts come to my mind. I remember many things. Many things. However, I also want to tell you to make your end faster. The Bible says, all things worketh together for good to them that love God. Let me show you. Romans 8. Praise the Lord. Please pardon me. I have a sermon, but I'm perceiving something in my spirit. Let me just be done with that. We'll finish. Anywhere we can stop, we'll stop. Anywhere we cannot stop, we'll finish on Sunday. Romans 8, from verse 28. It says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. To them who are the called according to his purpose. Let me emphasize on the first one. All things work together for good to them that love God. That means if a man loves God, that is your bailout. Jesus. If a man loves God, as long as a man loves God and is steadfast, eventually everything that seems to have worked against him will begin to work for him. All things work together for good to them that love God. To them that love God. Oh, so that means it's not everybody that all things work together for good for. Some people, all things do not work together for their good. What makes all things work together for your good is if you love God. We can tell many stories about how things change for different people. Look at Joseph. Okay, look at Joseph in the Bible. Do you know that some people, they would have sold them to slavery, they were accused wrongly, ended up in prison, and there was nothing to bring them out. They may die there. Are you following what I'm saying? But when God saw that this guy will be pivotal to my plan, that by the time I use him to interpret the dream for Pharaoh, Pharaoh will not exalt him to a high position. He will save Israel from the famine that is to come and protect my salvation plan. You know what? I will keep Joseph. Somehow there will be a bailout for Joseph. Somehow there will be an open door for Joseph. Maybe I'm talking to you. Where is your love for God? Where are you? Where are you working with God? All things work out for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. So when you make up your mind that I'm going to take the purpose of God as my own purpose, I will run with God's plan, and I will love God. It doesn't matter what wants to happen. Oh, fuel is 2,000 per liter. It will work for my good. That's a good place to say it will work for my good. Can you say after me, I will not give up now. I will not give up now. God has a plan for my life. I will not give up now. I will not give up now. God has a plan for my life. Amen. If there's anything you need as an encouragement, it's the story of the church. Do you know how many people have tried to kill the church from Emperor Nero? They looked for Christians everywhere and they were slaughtering them one by one. Go and read about Emperor Nero. And just to satisfy his his desire to destroy Christians, he said, you know what? Let's set Rome on fire. As Rome was on fire, he called the violinists to be playing for me. Anywhere you find the Christians, kill them. All throughout the ages, persecution has always come. Many people have died, but guess what? The church has moved on. We are marching on. We have become stronger. You will kill one. The anointing will fall upon 25 people. You will kill Stephen. Paul will arise. Praise the Lord. Some of you know my personal story. If the devil knew that I would become what I would be, he would not have touched my father. My dad was a missionary in the great city of Oyo State. And one day, a service like this, we finished from service and we're going back home. It was not in the night. It was in broad daylight. Around that kind, 5, 6. We're going back home. I can remember it like yesterday. We got to the gates and some strangers opened the gates. And I was like, what is happening? Who are these people? They opened the gate for us. Well, opened the door for my dad. Opened the door for my mom. We came out. My dad was asking them, what's the problem? Who are you? Before we knew what was happening, I saw one long gone. That was the last I remembered. My mom carried me and started running. Behind me, I heard, what? Shot and shot and shot and shot and shot. That was the last I remembered. There were times I'll be asking, God, why did you allow this to happen? God, why did you allow that to happen? But well, I'm here. Oh, that's how I'll break his head. This is gospel, I will preach it. It's after me to work for my good. Praise the Lord. So, we said the church is God's training ground. Jesus says in Matthew 28, verse 19, he says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. That word, teach all nations, actually refers to make disciples, make students, make pupils. When we come to church, see, we come as people who came for a training ground. We come like people who are ready to be trained. We come with a note. We come with Bibles. We write. We are ready to be discipled. Are you hearing me? The Bible says, as good soldiers endure hardness. So there's another metaphor. Soldiers. Actually, if you read this properly, Matthew 28 verse 19, teach all nations. It actually reads, make pupils or make students of all nations. You know the anointing? Many churches don't even know this. Painfully. We're not saying we are better than them, but God will help us do well in Jesus' name. Amen? But guess what? Many false religions understand this more than many Pentecostal churches. The average 4-year-old boy in Jehovah's Witnesses knows his Bible, their Bible, and their doctrine more than a 25-year-old boy in a normal Pentecostal church. You ask him who is Jesus, they will tell you Jesus is an archangel. So you may not agree that some people say, oh, Jehovah's Witnesses, they are not false. Let me tell you. That alone makes them false. You know, when something is false, there will be many right things. There are many right things that they teach you, but their doctrine on Christ is false. Are you with me? Read any book, any Jehovah's Witnesses book, even our book of Bible stories, that yellow book. If you remember, Jesus, they will say that Jesus was one of the great spirits that God made first. And God partnered with him to create the world. And if you hear the way they explain it from the book of Colossians, you'll be afraid. If you're not careful, they can convince you. Make students. So, for instance, when coming here today, see, I'll go back to my story. As a Christian coming to church, every service, there are things you ought to learn and add as more weapons to your arsenal. Are you with me? For instance, coming here today, I was going to pick up my dear boy, Leo. And I wanted to take a shorter route. But in my spirit, I knew, don't take that route. Jesus. I felt like telling Pastor Kenny that was me. I said, knowing the leading of the spirit is a skill. It's a skill that can be taught. It's a skill that should be taught. You can be taught it so much that on the spot, in an emergency, you know what to do next. Are you with me? I was like, if I take that route, no. I may reach church by 7:30. I didn't know in my spirit. So, by the time I had driven to the place where I wanted to take the route, all of a sudden, I just brought out the window, told everybody to wait. I'm turning back. People started insulting me. Waiting to worry you. You didn't drive this car like God done. You know, everybody in Abuja is always, in fact, usually Nigerian drivers are always angry. They are just angry, angry. But I know what I speak in my spirit and I turned. It's a skill. It's a training. It's a training. You should be, oh my God. You should be able to discern the devil at work. Ah, yeah, 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 yeah. It's a training. There are some things you see. No. By the time you have been schooled in this, I'm not talking about witch hunting, no, and spiritism. You can see events and say, Satan, this is Satan. This is the devil at work, and stop him in the tracks. Have you not noticed there are some times where you just wake up and you're just angry? That whole day. And you will notice that different things will be happening that day that will be making you more angry. Hey. You just go, this one is not working. Something, you have to ask yourself, why is this thing happening? Many times there is something God wants to do and Satan knows that the only way to get it, to stop it, is to distort your heart. So you will learn to say, peace. In the name of Jesus. I will not be overwhelmed. I do it a lot. I will just lay my hands on my head and say like this, put like this. I say, I will not be overwhelmed. Some of you should do that right now. I will not be overwhelmed. I am greater than this. The greater one lives in me. I walk in wisdom always. You will see a chain of disappointment. Let me tell you, okay, you're asking me, Pastor, how do you know that that's the devil? Every time you see negative things in sequences, you know the devil at work. Example, Job. Remember the story of Job? Job was sitting down. They came and told him, your children, all of them were doing this, and all of a sudden something happened and they all died. Before the Bible says, before that one finished, another one came. Sir, all your cattle, they were doing this, and there was a plague that came and hit all of them, and all of them died. Before that one finished, another one came. Job, all your real estate, something happened, and fire caught them. Before that one, when you see negative circumstances in sequence like that, Satan is at work. Are you with me? He's training. And as you keep on going, there are many things you need to learn. That is why the Bible says he gave unto the church apostles, prophets, pastors, and teachers for the perfection of the saints. For the perfection of the saints. For the equipping of the saints. Ay, Jesus. I remember trying to teach one of our pastors how to cast out demons. How do you know that a demon has left a person? It's a training. They are looking at me. It's not every time you say, Satan, come out, and the person sleeps and the person is free. It's a lie. Sometimes the demon is sleeping. Oh my God. There's a simple way. This one, you must have energized your spirit to pick it. You must have given yourself long enough to prayer to be able to pick what I want to say. Have you tried to lift something very heavy? Then how did you feel when you threw the heavy thing away? You felt relieved, right? So when you are casting out a demon, usually by the time the power of God and the angels of the spirit are pulling out that devilish spirit, you will feel the weight on your heart. By the time that thing has fully left the human being, the minister, not even the person, you will feel like, if you have not felt that way in your spirit, man, it's not free. Let me come back. If you have not felt the release of God in your spirit, man, in the same way, when you are praying about a matter, and you pray. You prayed for 1 hour. And you've not felt like the thing has left you. You have not finished. You may have prayed for 1 hour, but you have not finished the matter. Pastor, all these things you are saying, what are the scriptures for it? Okay. Philippians chapter 4, from verse 6. It says, for be anxious for nothing. Be anxious. It says, don't allow yourself ever get to the point of anxiety. It says, be anxious for nothing. But in all things, through prayer and supplication. Can we read it together? Everybody, 1, 2, 3, go. Be careful for nothing. Oh, King James, be careful. But be in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your request be made known unto God. Now, verse 7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, what is happening here? Can you put the two verses together? It says, be anxious for nothing. Meaning, when things want to start worrying you, when things want to start disturbing you, don't allow anxiety to take over. But what will you do in place of the anxiety? He says, But in everything by prayer and supplication. So when you see yourself getting anxious, getting worried, are you with me? Going to prayer. And don't stop praying and giving thanks to God until peace takes over. Be careful for nothing. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God is the response from God that your requests have been made known to him. So the answer that comes from the spirit realm to prove to you that what you are praying about has ascended is peace. Now, this kind of peace, it passes understanding. It's like, I've not seen my answer, but I have peace. That's proof that you have gotten the answer. Are you following me? Now, it does not make sense to people. Let me ask some of you. Have you ever been in a zone where you prayed about something to the point where you just had peace about it? It does not happen to many believers because they've not been trained. And the peace of God. He says that peace, what will do it? It will now keep your heart. It will not be, some of you have experienced it, some people have not. That peace will so keep your heart that when you want to worry again, you're like, why am I even worrying? Why am I bothered about this thing? You have not gotten the answer to it, though, but you're not bothered again. Because the spirit realm has received your application. And it has, you have gotten a response from God. It's called training. Praise the Lord. The church is God's training ground. So, this perfection of the saints will happen where? In the church. This making disciples of all nations will happen where? In the church. In the church. Praise the Lord. Say, the church is God's training ground. Oh, let me tell you here. Ministry gifts. See, have you ever seen people say things like, we're all ministers? Have you ever seen things like that? We're all anointed. It is true. So what makes the difference between ministry gifts or pastor, people who are called into ministry? Because every Christian has a ministry, right? So what makes the difference between those who are called? It is that those who are called do not just do ministry. They do ministry and they train other people to do ministry. They have a divine anointing from God to train. So if you read Ephesians chapter 4 from verse 11, let's go there. Ephesians 4 verse 11. Say after me, I'm blessed. I can never be defeated. I am more than a conqueror. He says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers, verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, verse 13, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Let me tell you, there is the way you will be on that training. You will even know I'm growing. Something's happening to me. Abuja work is new, so some of you may not understand. There is a way you will be. I've seen it happen again and again. I've been doing this thing for years. Where we raise a point, when I hear the person praying, I say, okay, true. I have a soldier here. After a while, your stature in the spirit begins to rise. The measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now, verse 14, 1, 2, 3, go. Verse 14. Everybody, 1, 2, 3, go. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. See, one of the ways you know that you have started gaining stature is, nobody can just tell you nonsense and just convince you. Mm-mm. You cannot just say anything like this and just convince you. No, you have your conviction solid. Except that means rock solid. For instance, there is a movie on Netflix called Deliverance. Who has heard about it? Deliverance. Where they called somebody to deliver the person in the name of Jesus and the person died. Like the spirit in that person came and dealt with the person who came to cast out the demon. That means that is heresy. You know, Sabi. Do you not just answer and not mates? God has never fought the devil. God will never fight the devil. They are not mates. That's another narrative against the church. That's another narrative against the name of Jesus. Let me tell you something. The name of Jesus is so powerful, that sometimes, you know why demons try to persist? They want to be sure if you know what you are doing. If you know how powerful what you are saying. I remember Lester Sumrall, the great teacher of demonology. I was reading his book some years ago, They Shall Expel Demons. He said that when you are casting out, I don't even know why today I'm just teaching to this demon matter. He said, when you are casting out demons, the power of God over demons is not about you, but about the name of Jesus. He said, the devil will try to make it look that it's about you. Ah, Jesus Christ. So one day, he went to preach somewhere. On the way, it was a crowded meeting. So he was walking towards the stage. I've shared the story many times. And on his way to the stage, a lady just grabbed him. Now, Satan is a master of disguise. Many times, one of the ways the devil works is with distraction. So like that service, he was trying to distract him. A lady just grabbed him and said, I am the white witch, you are the black witch. In the service. He was like, leave my cloth. The lady was on him. I'm the white witch. You are the black witch. I'm the white witch. So everybody just now, we're putting attention like, what is going to happen here? Hey, God. And so, while he was there, he said, what will I do? What will I do? What will I do? Then, within his spirit, he felt a prompting. Grab her head and begin to scream Jesus. So he grabbed her head. Let me tell you, you cannot be doing Demure or Demion. You want to be a serious believer? Your gyroscopic balance will be tampered with. No, you cannot be maintaining steeze. Composure, and you want to be a soldier for Christ, forget about it. He grabbed her head and said, in the name of Jesus, the demons are shouting, I'm the white witch, you are the black witch, I'm the white witch, I'm not going anywhere. Some people will say, that means I don't have power. It's a lie. The power is in the name of Jesus. It's in the name. He said he stayed there. I said, I will not agree. Today, I will stamp my feet at the name of Jesus. Every knee must bow. As he continued, after almost 30 minutes, people were just watching film. You know, people like drama. They were just watching film. After that, she just slumped. The demon left. Will you stand your ground? The Bible says, after you have done all to stand, stand! It takes training to know that eventually we will win. Are you with me? After me, we will win. And so that was how. After that happened, you know, that alone, if he did not fight that battle, and he goes to the stage to preach, forget about it. Nobody will listen. Are you with me? Satan would have won the battle already. He would have found a way to cast aspersions and cast darkness on the minds of everybody there. But by the time he was done with that lady and he got to the stage, everybody lift your hands. They know that by this time, all power. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. So the church is God's training ground. Many years ago, 2017, I was preaching somewhere and that thing happened to me. But then I did not know so much. I was still young in the school of the spirit. I was preaching in Lagos and while I was preaching, a lady stood up and said, you are a fish. Hey, God. Everywhere scattered. I was just like, what will I do now? I'm just kidding. I'm a fish. A homie fish. He said, you are a fish. I said, take out. I was learning now. I should have grabbed her head and said, in the name of Jesus, I am who God says I am. Are you with me? And if I stand on it, then some months later, I had matured more. I had learned more. I went to preach somewhere at Ibadan. And while I was preaching, a mad lady ran into the church and said, you are fake. But now I know more. I say, I cannot be fake. I came from the master. Jesus sent me. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. And she goes, yeah, I ran out. 2 months later, the same church called me and said, that mad woman is healed. Bishop, any wrong can never forget me. He called me and said, Pastor David, that mad lady has received her healing. Because the power is in the name of Jesus. I am just the messenger. The Bible says, wherefore when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive. Meaning, when Christ was ascending, he made the spirit of all the spirit of captivity a captive. So that means Christ has all the power. And I have all the victory in him. You are not sounding like you have conviction. So that means Christ has all the power. And I have the victory in him. Glory! So the church is God's training ground. Number two for today, which is actually number five in the list. The church is God's family. Ephesians 3 from verse 14 to 15. Ephesians 3 from verse 14 to 15. It says, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Verse 15. "Of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." Glory. Say after me, I'm part of God's family. So we have a big family. We have siblings in heaven. We have siblings on earth. If the church understood that we are family, we will stop fighting each other. In your family, don't you have family members that have bad character? Don't you have some family members that say, "Oh, but this guy, there's coin. He's there, he's to touch." But there is a level you will not disgrace your family member outside. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because he's your family member. Does the church have people in it that have faults? Yes! Are there issues? Yes! Should they be dealt with? Yes! But we are family members. The church is God's family. It's God's family. Oh my God. You know, I like the way somebody put it. In the church, Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that went to catch fish. And caught fish of all manner, of all kinds, of different sorts. And when they come, they bring them inside, they begin to select them. That's why in the church, you will see all kinds of human beings, all kinds of attitudes, all kinds of... Oh my God. It's like a hospital. People coming to receive salvation. People coming to receive deliverance. People who the devil have twisted their life. People who shake it, has showed them back. All kinds of things. And so, when you come into Christ, Christ will begin to fix you. When you understand this, you'll be patient with your neighbor. Praise the Lord. People say, "Oh, the church is, I don't like the, there's no love in the church." Well, try the world. Let's see if there's love there. My God. This world. There are some stories you read about things that have happened. When you read stories of betrayal, a time will come, if you're not careful, you will not trust anybody. You will not trust. In fact, even your own self. Psalm 68, verse 6. It says, "God setteth the solitary in families." You know, the Old Testament has a lot of pictorial view of what Christ has come to do, or what Christ came to do. It shows us in a prophetic way, in a prophetic demonstration. Look at what it says. It says, "God setteth the solitary in families. He bringeth out those which are bound with chains. But the rebellious dwell in a dry land." Now, the picture of bringing out those who are bound with chains, does that not look like salvation? So, God is saying that when he brings you out of the chains of darkness, he brings you out of the chains of sin, out of the chains of iniquity, out of the chains of Satan, the next thing he does that he sets you in a family. That's why the church is a family. We're going to have a special teaching on this. The church family. But it says the rebellious dwell in dry land. Who are the rebellious? Two sets of rebellious people. Number one, they are those who will not believe the gospel. They are rebellious. Number two, those who have believed, but they don't want to enter the family. He says the rebellious dwell in the dry land. Do you know how powerful just our gathering is? Do you know how powerful our gathering is to your spiritual growth? Let me tell you, if you don't have a spiritual family where you are known, where you can share bond with people, you will not grow beyond a certain level. In fact, according to the Bible, you will not be established. In fact, you will not be refreshed. You will be dry spiritually. You see this thing we do after service, the way service closes and we are hugging each other, we are greeting each other. That is part of the service. That's not just for the sake of... That thing is as spiritual as the sermon. Romans chapter 1 from verse 11. Let me prove to you what I just said. Romans 1 verse 11. I've thought it before and we're going to look at it again when we're talking about the church family. Now, everybody read this verse. It says, "For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established." Now, does that end with a full stop or with a semicolon? Meaning he's still talking. So, "For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, that to the end you will be established." Now, if you look at it, if you stop in that verse 11, It looks like, okay, the pastor is coming with spiritual gifts and he will impart it to you. Take it and you'll be established. Is there a place for that? Yes. But is that what he's talking about? Not exactly. How do I know? Let's put verse 11 to verse 12. It says, for I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end you may be established. Now everybody read. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Let's go again. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. First of all, what is mutual faith? It is something that you have and I have, right? So you have faith in Christ, I have faith in Christ. Our faith is mutual. In the same way in Facebook, you have mutual friends. So when you want to make somebody your friend, he will tell you that two of you, you will have this amount of friends. Or you say, you follow this person also follows this person. They are trying to tell you that you will have something in common. So when you have mutual faith, when two believers who believe the same thing come together, the Bible says that something will happen together among them. It's called comfort. That I may be comforted together by the mutual faith both of you and me. This is what Paul was referring to as spiritual establishment. Some of you are not getting the point. Let me start again. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gifts, to the end ye may be established. That is, I may be comforted together with you both by mutual faith, both of you and me. So he's saying that I'm longing to see you, that by the time me and you see and we share that bond together, that comfort of two of us who believe in Christ coming together have. Once we have that kind of experience, it will make you established. That's why when you come to church and you have a brother and a friend, after a while, a time now comes where you come to church, you're even looking forward to see that person. You know what is happening? Because there is a mutual faith between you and that person, after a while, you are getting established. So you that will not come to church before, because you have a friend now, and two of you are sharing a bond together. After service, you will just talk about life, talk about this, just become close. After a while, you are getting established. When you see people drying out spiritually, one major reason is that the devil has found a way to separate them from their spiritual family. You may not know, but every time we come together and we spend time together, you are getting more established. It's like a mesh. Like a cord that knits all of us together. And it comes in the form of comfort. So after service, I come and I say, my brother, I'll use you again as example. Come. After service, I say, Efe, how you doing now? Kai, it's been long. How is everything now? How you doing?
Yeah, fine, sir.
How was the day?
Fine, sir.
It was quite stressful, Abi.
Yes.
But God is on the throne.
Yeah, well.
Then, it's no wahala. By the time we talk like this, comfort has been exchanged. I've comforted him. He has comforted me. It's bringing establishment. Praise the Lord. Shout glory. Father, we give you praise. Galatians 6 verse 10. Galatians 6 verse 10. It says, as we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of. He's calling our house of faith a household. He's calling people who have the same faith in Christ a household. So the church is God's family. Jump on your feet.